Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord God. The shift has happened in our favor, and we receive it now. Those watching online, receive the shift in your life, favor coming into your life, healing, all that you need from God. God is your source. Father, we thank you. We honor you. And we thank you for this time with you to worship you and to bless your name and to praise you. We will give you our best praise. If we don't do that, the rocks will cry out. But no rock gonna outpraise me. So we love you, Lord God. Thank you for this time to share your word. We honor you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord God. You may be seated. Father, thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. And that my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. Therefore, Lord, I commit to give you alone all the praise and the glory and the honor for what will take place today and also in the many days to come. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. For your good and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Father. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. Amen. For those of you that may be wondering, and those watching online, what is going on in that church? Well, we took a little extra time to praise God and worship him and bless his name. And it's definitely appropriate to worship and bless God. If you would open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to share with you about bringing your best self to work. Say, bringing my best self to work. Yeah, we want to talk about bringing your best self. Not your okay self, but your best self. And this particular verse, in fact, in Philippians 2:13, is really the cornerstone of my life and this ministry. All that we do is birthed out of that verse. It says, for it is God who is at work in you. Stop there for a moment. God is still working. I know he created the heaven and the earth and he rested, but he's still working. And he's working inside of you and working inside of me. For it is God, say it is God, who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word pleasure in the Greek, you open it up and it says, really means the word purpose. So God is working out his purpose, his plan in each of us. And what I want to encourage is recognize that. And that as we do life, in particular as we go to work, work meaning your job, where you drive a truck, where you work in the office, where whatever you do, working on campus, you're a teacher, or you're a student, you're working as a student, amen? That's your work. Do all the assignments and study. God created us to work. But what I want to focus on is not just work just to get paid, not just to have a job and, you know, take care of our family needs and achieve some goals, buy a house and pick a fence and a dog spot. But what about God? Don't leave God out. Because God's purpose needs to be shared in the workplace. Say in the workplace. So for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, God also works and he is at work in us as we work in harmony with him to accomplish his purpose in the earth. The key is work in harmony. Most organizations, most companies want their employees to work in harmony with the company vision, company plan, company goals, company values. Amen? Amen. Well, the Bible is God's vision. And as we as believers follow Christ and go out into the marketplace, in the workplace, then we need to represent God in excellence. We need to be high achievers. But also we need to, when we get recognized and we get accomplished in what we do, we should give God all the glory. And this is how God is able to get people's attention. Most people don't come into churches like ours before they receive Christ. You know, they make up for a wedding or something like that, maybe Easter and Christmas is about it. Most people don't even think about it. So how do you impact them? How do you give them a sense about how powerful God is? It's through you and I as we go out of these doors and work and let our work shine bright. And when we get recognition, we solve problems, and they say, how did you do that? Everybody in the office is losing money, sales are down, and you're the only one making money. How did you do that? Well, you know, I took time to pray and ask God for help. The Bible says God is my helper. Well, I don't believe in God. I was taught God didn't exist. Well, they taught you wrong. In fact, I was in Russia, 1995. I had the privilege to go to Russia and teach business and marketing. And there was, I was teaching bankers, the fourth largest bank in Russia. And so I'm talking about how we innovate and come up with new ideas and new products. And so near the end of that session, one of the bankers in the back, he says, how do you do that? Be creative and have ideas and new products and solutions. How do you do that? I said, well, God helps us. It was quiet in that room. This is Russia now, in 1995. And he raised his hand again. He says, they told us there was no God. I raised my hand. They lied to you. You see, when we show up at work with God inside of us and give our best self, say our best self, then the best self is you're walking in the ability of God. See, now we all have natural abilities, you all. If you're tall, you can dunk better, right, than a guy that's 4'2", right? I get it. You know, you got long legs, you're strong, you can run faster than a guy, you know, or somebody can't run too fast. I get it. We're talking about not just your natural, but your supernatural ability. It's insight and wisdom to discern that God showed you stuff for solutions that the world desperately needs. If we just be an average teacher, follow the lesson plan, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I mean, I went to UCLA, but, you know, I want to go to Harvard, but I go to Harvard, went to UCLA, which is fine, no problem. But places like Harvard, for example, they typically get the kids, young people who will be successful in any school they go to. Their grades are top, their preparation, their background, they've been doing this for years. And so oftentimes they have a pedigree in their family where they're able to tap into the network and do well. They're thinking about their alumni. So the alumni can talk about the school and they'll get more students coming to school paying a lot of money. I understand it. But that's, to me, that's not speaking much a lot about Harvard's educational approach. But when you take an average student, a student that didn't do well, say I have a degree in applied mathematics, but I wasn't good in math in high school. Take a student like me, are you following me? And have him do well, are you following me?
Yeah.
That speaks well of the school.
Yeah.
So God will take you, and you do well in the marketplace. Yeah. And when you get acknowledged and he'll give you the awards, they'll say, well, how did you do it? You say, the Lord is my help.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's what it means. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. More importantly, is to let your light shine before men and women and children, and they will see the good works you do. And when they see it, they'll glorify God. So well, he's assuming they connect your good works to how God getting to God's help. Or why would they glorify God? Why would they glorify God for the good works if they thought Buddha did it? Muhammad did it. Or no God did it. No, somehow they know, you let them know, it. God help me. Say, God help me. When I worked for Ford Motor Company in my internship in their world headquarters in Dearborn, Michigan, they were known for hiring Mormons because they have a strong work ethic. Are folk in your company known for hiring Christians? I'm going to go on the side over here. They're not feeling me. Are folk where you work, are they known for hiring Christians because they like the work ethic?
Right.
Yeah, too often it's no. You're right. And the problem is because I got to teach on this out of the Bible. So you look at examples like Joseph, for example. A young man, and Daniel, a young man. That's why we got to work with these young people. Let's get them early so they get it. They get a work ethic and excellence in their work ethic and learning, and they give God glory. See, don't just teach them how to do math and read well and Spanish and all the languages. No, not just that only, but they know God gave this to me. And I'm going to use my gift and the wisdom that God gives me to glorify him. That's why Daniel didn't bow down. Amen. Bring your best self to work. And to bring your best self to work, you got to do it with the ability of God. Yes. I was invited to go pray at Compton High School about 4 or 5 years ago. Me and Michael Freeman, many of you know him, and a few others. Bessie Bonner was with us as well, and some other people. And we went around and prayed, and because one of the issues they were dealing with, they were having their accreditation threatened to be taken away by the state, Compton High School. And so we went around and began to pray. We prayed in every classroom, walked around the perimeter, laid hands on every desk, talking about the ability of God. Now, they're doing things they can do to improve their accreditation, get it, and so forth, and not have school taken away. But that's the natural stuff they got to do. But God adds to the supernatural. Amen. And maybe the first place you begin is praying for your company, praying for your department. See, we pray for healing, but what about praying for your company? See, you got to bring it out beyond these walls, y'all.
Amen.
And expect God to move on your behalf, on behalf of the company. See, if it's all about us getting ahead, you're not bringing your best self. And so we began to pray. We walked around the entire campus, or on the football field, the track field, and touched all the walls, and in fact, in the various classrooms and the desks and teachers' desks and seats. I laid hands on all of them. We had a team of folks. We'd get up early in the morning before class started. We were there praying. And I went to one of the meetings they had where they had the accreditation people there and the staff, and they were concerned about some things. I just sat in and observed, praying in the tongues, softly, we're making no scene. There's a power of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. I know some folks don't get it, but that's why we talk about it, because it's God's way. Make a long story short, talking about bringing your best self in the workplace. And the principal was right there with us. He had no problem. He realized, I need some help. And all the help we've been doing ain't helping enough. And a pastor from Whittier willing to help me, I'm willing to receive his help. If prayer to God will help me, I'll take it. We'll make a long story short, they got the maintained accreditation, and the principal got promoted to a new high school. I share that can happen on your job. Bring your best self to work with you. See, too often we want to separate. That's the lie of the enemy. Bring, it's in you already. You can't separate God from you. And your work matters to God. Say it matters to God. And your work will matter more to God when your work matters to you. At the next level, bringing God. Say, bringing God.
Bringing God
to the workplace with you. Now, I'm not saying get a big T-shirt, honk if you love Jesus, and you're bothering people and all that. No, I'm not saying that. You work as you normally work and do a good job and excel. And people like Joseph and Daniel, they tapped into the wisdom of God. That same wisdom is available today. But the reality is we adults, we have to be, not just teach our children, but model it for our children. Say, model it.
Model.
They need to see us like we said earlier. The adults need to, and the kids need to see us reading and going to college and achieving and starting businesses and prospering and doing good things. Same way in the area of the things of God. They got to see us as parents and talk about how, they're talking about closing this department. In fact, in our Spanish ministry Bible study we had some years ago, brother was sharing how their division was going to be closed down. And he said, well, can we pray about it? And the boss, he wasn't a Christian, but he said, I'm open to anything. Yeah, you all can pray. We'll be open to that. And they began to pray at prayer meetings at the office. And it turned the business around. They got a major contract. Everybody kept their job. They began to thrive. And he got promoted and got more money. See, oftentimes we try to do it hook or crook on our own. It's, or you're trying to, you know, it's nice to be nice to your boss, but you can kind of kiss up, you know, kind of. But no, just let God shine through you. The Bible says your gift makes room for you. And I share this because God wants the glory. And the key aspect of this, what I'm talking about, is that most Christians, their calling in their life is not to be a pastor or a minister or work in a church or as a missionary, but to work in what I call the 9-to-5 window. Say 9-to-5 window. That's where most people on earth are. They're buying something, they're selling something, they're training something, teaching something, working on something, fixing something, creating something, planning something. It's where they what? Work. Most people out there doing something, working. They're buying something, selling. Are you following me? Where you are. And God put you and gave you that good job. Yeah. Don't take it for granted. And I'm here to let you know that it has a purpose. Say it has a purpose. It has a big purpose. And when you start, this is why it's important to, while we talk about reading the Bible and studying the Bible and praying, because now you take that wherever you go, even on vacation. You may have your family vacation. When your child gets really sick, you know what to do. Yeah, call the paramedics, call the doctor. But in the meantime, you lay hands. Amen. See, if you separate it from your life, then most people who don't come in the door of any church in the world, first, they can't see how good God is because we're not bringing it to the world when we go out there in the workplace and do our jobs 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Where most people are, I call the 9-to-5 window. Even school, you're working there. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to start thinking about God. Okay. You promoted me. You gave me this opportunity. Sent me to this college. What is the college for? Yeah, to get education. But who's that? Who's on the campus? People. Yeah. People. In fact, at UCLA, we had a little place called, it was like I call a scholar's corner. That's where all the brothers hang out all day. I said it had to be a scholar because they never went to school. They didn't go to class. Then watching the ladies go by. And I started realizing, wait a minute, when I got saved as a sophomore, I began to realize, God, you gave me this opportunity. I want to use it to glorify you. It's beyond just getting a good job and the money you owe. It's beyond that. If you limit it to that, you limit God. I recall he's still alive, famous, very popular Christian minister. And it's back about 25, almost 30 years ago. And he made a statement. God showed him something. He said, God showed me that he had wanted to give the invention of the microcomputer chip to a Christian, but couldn't get none of them to receive it and run with it. It was too big. Say too big. Now, the microcomputer chip is small, but the idea was huge. Back in the 80s, when I was in the computer business, it was very common to hear about the comments about you couldn't put a computer on a desk. You couldn't, there'd never be a day, and they talked about it. There were some prophecies, or there were some forecasts that one day a computer would be on your hand. Nobody could imagine that. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit can show you things to come. That's part of his role. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. It may be 30 years from now. He'll show you things to come. And why not through more Christians, these solutions that impact our environment, that impact our economy, impact our social structure and laws? What about through us? And by the way, when you start doing it that way, your companies will value you more. No, really. They'll value you more. You bring something else nobody else or very few people in this company offer. A spiritual connection that works with God. You can be calm. You can be a nice person. You have to be, you know, all in people's face and stuff. Just be confident. Yes. And what I like about Joseph did when the king had a dream, he didn't understand the dream. He was a little concerned about it. In fact, he went to all of his wise men. They had no solutions. And he was bold enough to say, you know, king, I tell you what, give me a few days. I'll come back with an answer. That's bold. Right. Say that's bold. But it's bold, but he had experience. He had experience, like David had experience killing lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Yeah. So he was bold. I'll take Goliath. But he had experience killing lions and bears. What about your experience, God? Do you have any lion and bear experience knocking them out of the park? And only God can help you do that? And so then you'll put your hand up to your boss. I got experience that God give me witty and ideas and solutions where nobody else knows because I sought him. That's what I'm talking about. That's why your time with God in prayer is important. Because you'll seek the mighty counselor, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is the mighty counselor. He'll counsel you about what to say and what to do. And then when you have a solution, your boss will be excited about it. If we don't go hear you all, we just average Christians. You can put it up in the verse in a moment when I quote it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. Say, many are called.
Many are called,
but few are chosen. God wants a whole bunch of folk to represent him. But why does he choose just some? Because just some going willing to bring the ability of God to work with them. If we're ashamed of him, we're embarrassed of him, we don't have enough confidence in him to get me out of a tough spot or our company out of a tough spot, I won't say nothing. What if it don't work? No, you got to have, see, that's why you got to start before you go to work. So you got some experience like David. I can get a lion and a bear. I can get this ugly Philistine, too. I put the ugly piece in there. This is why your time with God and experience and proving out the word of God in your life ahead of time. So when you need it most, not just for yourself, but the people around you and in the organizations you work with. I recall when I was working for a major company and I had a report to a meeting with the chairman of the company. It was a Fortune 500 company. The chairman was not a nice guy, known to be kind of ruthless and fire you on the spot in the meeting if he didn't like your presentation. But we had to do a major analysis for our product line, and my boss looking at me, and I'm just dealing with it, trying to figure it out. Numbers weren't coming out, showing an adequate profit because they wanted a certain amount of profit out of all the products that we manage. And so I got to make my contribution, and I got to make sure it makes sense, and I have to demonstrate that it's going to work. And so, I'm over there. I had a window office. My boss walked by, and I said, "Nope, no, I don't answer." And he come by again about 20 minutes later. I said, "Nope." And so he's got to get me nervous now. I called my wife, Vanessa. I said, "Babe, I need some help. We're gonna pray. I pray, we agree." So I got some intercessory support. You ever pray, ask your prayer, do you have any folk to know how to pray? I mean, really pray. No, sir, do you know anybody who will stop right now and pray for you? Boldness and confidence, and you know God's going to respond to those prayers. Agreement. I call it being battle ready. But bring her to the workplace. So I call, and she prayed, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute. That's back in the TI instrument days. Oh, that's the numbers. It works. He come by. I said, come on in. Went up there, had my presentation. It went extremely well. I share this. See, we do this in our Christian environment. You know, I'm sick. I'm going for a test. I'm talking to Christian friends. What about the people you work around? What about voluntarily? God, this is out of my league, but God, if we don't get a solution right now, they're going to close down this office. And you gave me this job 6 months ago, and I've got a new apartment or a house, right, and my good school, and I don't want to be leaving now, God, unless you say so. And so I don't want this company to take me away, take the job away, so I like it here. I need you to do something, Lord God. You can talk to God like that. Mm-hmm. Ask, and you shall what?
Receive.
You shall receive. Yeah. And I'm sure a few other employees are wondering, I need some help. I'd rather not. I like the job, too. But see, you can turn things around.
Amen.
When we show up with our best self. Say our best self. At work. I know this is the same way the folk in the first service was looking, okay? I get it. Now, something else, Pastor? No, it's the same thing. Should have been doing it already. Bringing God wherever you go. Don't compartmental God. He's great. He's mighty. So I want to encourage you, because it's in this world environment that we get beat down. We come to church, praise his name. I don't want to raise no hand, right? I've been beat up all week. Well, you've been victorious, overcoming, because you let God show up at your job. You come here, praise him, praise him. I want to minister to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God?
Yes. Amen.
By definition, you are world overcomer. Next verse. Who is he? The Bible says. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whatever the situation, this is the reason many of you have heard about George Washington Carver, a former slave and a prolific inventor. One of the primary reasons why he was so good at what he did, because he was trying to help the poor and struggling economy of the South. The economy was messed up because of agrarian culture, and nothing was growing, and people were poor and struggling, and he's trying to help the people, black and white folk, everybody in the South. Say everybody. We're all hurting. And he says, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And he began to seek God. And yet he began to use how to understand, work with rubber. Henry Ford tried to hire him. He said, no, I'm going to stay with Tuskegee University. I don't need to do that right now. He was high demand. Colors, he used paints, cosmetics he invented. Because he went to the woods and said, Lord, this flower, what is the color? Solving world problems. And God helped him. Say, I will bring
my best self
to work.
Because
I will
tap in.
To the ability of God. Otherwise, you leave God's ability back at home somewhere. Maybe at the altar. Maybe it's over here. The world is crying out for help, y'all.
Amen.
The world is crying out for help. Now, if you're not ready, I won't say nothing. I'm going to raise your hand, okay? You got to prepare yourself. Plus, you got to walk in integrity where they want to listen to you. You coming in late a lot? You know what? You're not the one. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Well, God showed me, sit down. And God may have showed you, but they don't want to hear you if you don't bring a level of consistency, faithfulness, and excellence.
Yes.
I want to minister to you. Because I believe God is in the process of birthing some wonderful things in our congregation and those in our media congregation, those who are watching. God wants to birth great and mighty things in you. But it's not just so you can get a nice paycheck and get a nice title and get maybe get notice in the paper. That's nice. But it's really God's agenda. Who is going to see my glory and what I did through you?
Yes.
They won't see it if you don't share it. And you share it appropriately at the banquet when they honor all the top sales. But don't think about it. You're only top sales. You're the only one who sold it, anything. They want to know how you do it now. But see, what happens then, I understand how you're feeling, some of you, because you're not there yet now. That's okay. Say, today is a new day. I'm going to tap into the ability of God. Unless you understand the purpose of praying and reading the Bible, you realize, I got to find scripture with the authority that I can stand on, because there's a precedent set in the Word of God. Can I find an example like lawyers do? Can I find an example for what I want to do? That's why the word is so important. When I find scripture that promises me that, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just an average Joe. I'm not a minister. You're the one you want to work through mostly. I'm the teacher. You're the student. Go out there and do your job. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto him who was able to do, the him is God, that was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not the power of your money. I'm not knocking that. Not the power of your knowledge, natural knowledge, education, but the power that comes from God that no man can touch. The power that shows up that they know that was God.
Yeah.
In fact, when I think it was Peter, they began to minister, and this man, and when he went to the gate, beautiful, doing prayer, Peter and John, and the man was poor, and he was alms for the poor. He couldn't walk, and he said, I don't have no money right now to give you. What I do have is, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He began to rise up. Come to find out, that's Johnny. Johnny, I gave his name Johnny today. That's Johnny. Johnny, you know the one always at the liquor store begging? Yeah, that's Johnny. He's running, leaping, and praising God now. Hallelujah. That Johnny, everybody knows Johnny. And the Bible says he had never walked before, and he was over 40 years old. Everybody knew Johnny couldn't walk. And then they said it was a notable miracle. And these are men that didn't have no education. They call them ignorant men. Yeah. And I'm not glorifying, you know, ignorant. What I'm getting at is that sometimes we're looking at education and we support education. We just talk about it, right? But what about the power of God?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't leave out God.
Amen. Tell it.
Because when I worked for NASA, you know, many of you know I was applied mathematics. I worked for NASA, and we're looking at these satellites and how to build satellites and the mathematics behind it. And I began to find out some of our coworkers were developing new mathematics to solve problems. And I'm a young Christian. I'm observing this. I'm thinking, I need to be doing this. This guy, you know, I don't know if he's Christian or not. I'm a young Christian working at a jet propulsion laboratory. But I'm realizing that possibilities. Because there was a problem, and the math that I knew wasn't solving it. He had to figure out a new type of mathematics to solve it. Do you think all this in the books right now is all God knows?
No.
Say, tap into the ability of God. And we got to be bold enough to ask him for insights. Insights, technology. Your skills in other areas of interest, of literature and arts and so forth. God, how do I do this? How to bring it to another level? That's why I love to go watch the plays called Cirque du Soleil. You know what? That's not the average little circus. You know, they bring it to a whole new level. Whole new level. You haven't seen it? You need to go see one. God, all that is imagination. Comes from God to solve your rent problem, your mortgage problem. It comes from God. Your child is having difficulty in school. It comes from God. Say the ability of God. I know God's talking to you. I trust you're writing some of this down. In particular, writing down is, what is God saying to you right now? Write that down. Not just what I'm saying, write what God is saying to you right now. The next steps, what you're going to do about this. Because you want to bring your best self to the workplace. Don't sit in meetings and you see a person, you know, talk about his wife is dying of cancer or she's really sick of cancer. And they got a little halfway. Y'all, what y'all send me? Send a prayer up, and you know, you got to do better than that. And then you take them after at lunchtime. I'll pray for your wife. What's her name? I'm in a prayer group. Many of y'all in our church are in prayer groups, online, telephone. My wife and I are one with the leadership at 5 o'clock in the morning on Thursday mornings. We pray for half an hour for the leadership in our church. In the congregation every Thursday. I do when I'm on vacation. Don't have to. I just want to. Many of y'all do that. There are different prayer lines. We have Monday night prayer here, late night prayer once a month. Because we're getting, see, it's a pattern of, I got folk who know how to pray, who bring faith to the table. So you talk to your friend, and then you find out, then they come back about 2 weeks later. You went back to the doctor, and the cancer's gone! Right here, noon Bible study last year. Maybe you heard the testimony. That's kind of power that needs to be brought to your workplace. I'm about to finish noon Bible study. One of my members, Gabriela Ruiz, said, I got a friend. Can you pray for her? I never met her. Don't know her. She lives in Las Vegas, in fact. She says she has brain cancer. She's about to have an operation. Will you pray for her? I said, yeah, I'm praying to be healed. I don't know. I'm praying for this to be healed. We all pray about it. We're dismissing. A few of us were here. And so, make a long story short, next morning, Gabriella, after prayer, because she's on a prayer call too, a Thursday morning, she said, Bishop, I want to let you know, my friend was going into surgery. They decided to check again and kind of find out the cancer was gone. No more brain tumor. Say, no more brain tumor. No more brain tumor. Then I had her come to church that following Sunday and give a testimony here in the church. They're all on Facebook. Why not bring that to your bosses, to your coworkers? When the word gets out, guess who they come in to pray? And then you got other folk praying with you. Those other clouds of Christians. I'm going to pray with you now too. But if you're ashamed of the gospel, and that's what the devil, he wants to get the culture, it's really more the media. Everybody is not thinking this way. But if you're not careful, you'll bow down and buy into it. Well, you know, you know what? But folk are hurting. Joseph wasn't like that. And Mordecai told us, his cousin, he said, you know what, sister, you better go talk to the king and let him know what's going on around here. Well, he hasn't invited me. If he don't invite me, I may, in fact, get in trouble. He said, look, if you don't go do that, God's going to bring a deliverer from somebody else. And then he said this, could it be that God has brought you to the kingdom, in your case, that good job, that corner office, that good paycheck? Could it be that God brought you there for such a time as this? To be a deliverer, to be a help. It's not just we preachers, professional preachers. You are the army God's talking about.